You have not spoke to Chris Peduzzi yet about injury?
No, I meet with him every Monday afternoon.
Okay. After the game, did you talk to Brandon Boykin at all to kind of just get a feel for
Brandon, yeah. It seemed like he was doing okay. So I'll get the report from those guys after this.
If he can't go Sunday, what are some of your options at the slot?
I haven't discussed any of those, so.
Is it possible?
You can ask me tomorrow if he can't go.
Characterize generally your concern with the secondary, injury-wise, performance-wise, everything-wise.
Yeah, trying to find out what our health is an important thing. You know, what our all status is. Will he be back? Coleman was hurt at the end of the game. You know, Colt was banged up a little bit, so you know that's a big concern for us. And we'll get a feel after I talk to Chris and Doc today, and kind of what we got to do moving forward.
You seem comfortable going forward and fourth and short on your own side of the field. What's your philosophy behind that? What's your general thinking?
There was no general philosophy. It was just at that point in game, it was 27-9. We hadn't really done anything. It was a half a yard. I figured we got to do something. We got to get something going here, and hopefully in that situation you can pick up a half a yard. So we didn't do it. And, you know, I'll give our defense credit, put them on the field in an adverse situation. They held them to a field goal. So, you know, I'm hoping that when we have a half a yard to gain, that we can gain a half a yard. So.
Looking at the replays, where's your confidence in Alex Henry? You obviously short kick all day yesterday. You had the situation against the Lions, the return with Holiday back against the Broncos. Where are you at confidence-wise with him in terms of getting touchbacks?
Yeah, I think that the difference in this team is when you play the Vikings is you have to kick the ball out of the end zone. Because Patterson's going to return it. He's got a 109-yard kickoff return to his credit this year. He's the most dynamic returner in the National Football League, you know, statistically. So that's the type of guy he is. You have to get the ball out of the end zone if he's not going to return it. So, and we monitor it, and we watch him pregame warm up and kicked some right at the end, at the beginning of the second half, and he's 5 or 6 yards deep in the end zone. So those are coming out. So, you know, just based upon where. What's that? We haven't put our game plan together that way.
You know he exists. You know what he does.
I know he exists, but I mean, there's more than just the returner. It's how do they block it? What are the guys up front? How are the other 10 other guys? What type of returns do they run and all that other stuff? So there's more involved with just who the guy is. So.
On the non-onside kicks, I think their average was 33-6.
33-6. Going into the game, Cordell Patterson returned at 29-6, so it was a 3-yard differential.
In going into the game, did you have a target average starting field position you were hoping off those kicks?
No, I don't think it was a specific target, but I think obviously when you look back on it, we did a better job with the mortar kicks and the squib kicks. I think the squib kicks were the ones that hurt us. There was, you know, one bounce right to the up back, and then he had the ability to return it. The mortar kicks were a little bit more effective for us. So,
looking at the replays of Deshaun, it looked like he was apparently having an argument with Bob Bicknell. So, if that was true, are you worried about that? Is there concern that?
No, I think Deshaun was frustrated, and you know, we threw an interception, and just trying to calm him down and get on to the next play. So
that
I'm not concerned.
That series, Demaryius Johnson started instead of Deshaun. Was that a disciplinary move?
No.
What happened on that interception? It looked like Deshaun was open early. Was it a bad throw or a late throw? Or
You know, their corner fell off late. You know, we're running a tiered route over there with, you know, Riley going over the top and then Deshaun kind of running out and up over there. So, you know, their corner fell off of it. Didn't anticipate that was going to happen. And, you know, try to either got to get the ball in there earlier. But we're really not trying to throw it that way. Usually it's a clean throw or we got to get it to a check down. So.
Is it an effort issue with Deshaun either playing D-back on a bad thrown ball or trying to make a tackle?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I don't know if he knows where the DB is. You know, I think when you turn your head and you're wide open, you're not looking. I'm not looking at you as a defensive back. I'm looking back for the ball. So,
Your defense played 1,023 plays, which is by far the most in the NFL. I think the average is like 914 or something like that. Are you concerned about that? And is there some sort of effect here now late in the season?
No, I don't believe that.
Billy Davis made the point after the game that this Minnesota game would be a test to see how the team responds when they're the favorite. Do you think that's a real thing, like almost kind of learning how to have success and how you respond to that?
No, I don't think that way. I think you should go into every game with the same mindset, whether you're people from the outside consider you the favorite or don't consider you the favorite. I think if you're paying attention to that type of stuff, then you're not really focusing on what you can control. And just, again, the message I give and the message that I've always lived with is worry about what you can control. So whether someone makes you a favorite doesn't mean I act differently or someone says you're the underdog, you act differently, because then you're concerned with what things you don't control. You don't control what other people's opinions are, what that game is going into it. And if you are, you know, you're going to be a yo-yo up, yo-yo down guy, depending on how people tell you, you know, what they think going into the game. So, you know, I think your preparation should be the same. I think your mindset should be the same. And You know, sometimes it's easier said than done. That's not an easy thing to get accomplished, but I think that's ultimately the way it should be done.
What did you see from Nick Foles when you looked back through the tape? Were they confusing him with changing between zone and man? It seemed like he was standing back there a lot.
Yeah, you know, I just think Nick was a little inconsistent compared to where he'd been in the last five games, you know, and that's something, you know, we got to get in a film room with him. We got to see what he's saying, get a chance to visit with him. And, you know, what was your thought process here? Because there were times we had guys open, but we weren't 100% accurate with the ball. But it was a combination of everything. We had a few drops in there in critical situations that could have extended some drives and got some things going in the right situation. So, you know, it's not one guy. It's a team deal. And I think overall as a team we didn't play up to the level that we could have played at to be successful.
After 14 games, do you have a sense of what the overall personality is of this team, whether after wins or after losses, and how would you characterize that personality?
I think they've been good. You know, we were 3-5 at one point with this team and reeled off five straight victories. So, you know, I'll get a better gauge tomorrow when, you know, we see how does this affect them in terms of this loss. And, you know, this game is a tough game to play. You know, it's a tough game. You never really understand the outcomes, and sometimes it's tough to try to you wrestle with it and try to justify how did this happen, how did that happen, and whatnot. But, you know, we're on a weekly schedule, and we got to get ready for the Bears now. We can't let the loss to the Vikings, you know, affect us for 2 weeks. Is that, you know, there's some fixable things that we got to watch a film. We got to go over with our guys. We got to correct those mistakes, and then we got to get ready for a really good Bears team coming in here.
From an attitude standpoint, what do you expect?
I expect them to bounce back. I've seen them bounce back before, so that's what I'm anticipating happening.
In terms of McCoy's carries, were they dictated by the score or by the matchup?
I think it's a combination of the two. You know, they were definitely playing single high safety and always had an extra guy down in there. Whether they had him down weak or they had him down strong, you know, they changed that up a little bit, but there was always going to be an unblocked guy within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, you know, so that was a little bit different kind of approach. But if you're going to do that, you know, you got to play man coverage in behind it. You know, when I look at the production we had from, you know, our throwing game, we also got a chance to get the ball to LeSean in different ways in the passing game, and I thought he was very effective in the passing game. So
if the Cowboys beat the Redskins before you guys play Sunday night,
we're going to cancel
the
game.
Would you rest some of your starters?
No.
What's the thinking with that?
We got to play. We're not in a situation where we got to rest anybody. As we got to play. We got to get back on the winning track, and you know, we've got to be ready to play winning football. And I think that our philosophy has always been is it's on the line every single time you play, and it's not really what goes on outside of there. Is that we need to get better as a football team. Everybody needs to play. So,
are you going to be monitoring the result of that game?
No, I'm going to live in a vacuum.
No, but I mean,
it doesn't matter. I mean, I will know the score. I mean, we all have phones and televisions and all that other stuff. But I mean, am I going to be glued to the set? No. I mean, it is what it is. Whatever happens in that game still doesn't affect us in terms of we still got to go out and play the Chicago Bears. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have a victory party and say, oh, heck, we got to get over to the stadium. We got a game right now. I mean, we got to go play.
What was the plane ride back like as the Dallas?
Not very good.
Well, as the other game was unfolding and the Packers went, I mean, is there a change in mood? Are you guys tracking it?
Some guys have got some updates and they told us the score, but I know I didn't feel very good. I mean, I don't really care what goes on with Dallas, to be honest with you. We lost to the Vikings, and that's not a very good feeling. So, you know, I, again, my whole philosophy, I'm worried about what we can control, and we don't control what other people do. What we can control is how we played, and we didn't play well enough yesterday.
With Nick, he talked about missing some guys high early, especially in the first half. Did you see anything mechanical, footwork, anything like that?
No, I think it's getting your feet set, and I think that's a good point. You know, where are you in your drop? Are you consistent with your drop? Do you have the ability to get your feet set? Sometimes they did a decent job. That's a good front, you know, with Jared and Roberson and Williams in the middle getting a little bit of push. So sometimes he was a little bit inaccurate in terms of getting his feet set and throwing the ball, and he was high in a few throws.
Did you go back and look at the run-pass disparity and feel like you're still comfortable with how you kind of called the game, even when they're only ahead?
Whenever we win, I'm not comfortable. So there's never a breakdown of it has to be this, it has to be that. It's what are we gaining for yards? So, you know, you can bang your head against the wall and say, hey, we need to run the ball more. But if you run the ball, we went for it on 4th-and-a-half yard, and we did not get it. So, you know, probably kicked myself in the tail. We should have thrown a pass on that situation. So,
sure, with that in mind, down 17-9 at the start of the second half, three straight pass plays, was there any thought to trying to come out and establish the run on that series?
No, we were just thinking about production. You know, the first one was a completion for 6, and we're in a 2nd-and-4. If we can just throw it away on the next down and not take a sack, and then we're in 3rd-and-4 and we're in a workable 3rd-down situation. And those are things we need to continue to work on as an offense and understand playing situational football. It's the same thing with the 4th-and-short. It was 3rd-and-1 the play before. You know, if we just gain the first down and just get up in there and gain the first down, then we're not in that situation where we even have put ourselves in a situation where we got to go for it on fourth down. But that's just as the season goes along and as this team goes along, we got to understand situational football better.
You mentioned the single high safety, and early in the game, Nick ripped off some fairly good runs with that. Can the read up that read play take a team out of the single high safety, and did it affect?
No, because I think when you watch one of the third downs we had, we tried to do the same thing, but then Jared Allen played the quarterback. You know, so I think people are going to give you different looks. No one we've played has played the entire look, the entire game, and this is what we're going to do. They do a good job. They change it up in terms of how they're going to do it. And, you know, they were bringing the safety down strong. They were bringing the safety down weak. Sometimes the defensive ends were crashing on the running back, and then it left it open for Nick. But, you know, in a critical third down situation, you know, they didn't. You know, if we had just handed off, we would have got it. You know what I mean? And that put us in the fourth down situation where we ended up going for it again. But, you know, I don't know if that play right there is kind of befitting of what the day was all about. You know, we run a double reverse for a touchdown that's called back because of a clip, which is a legitimate penalty call. I mean, it was the right call at the time by our quarterback, you know, going back towards his own line of scrimmage. I would guarantee that's the first time a quarterback has been called for that. But, you know, it was a penalty, and that is the rule. You can't block back towards your line of scrimmage in a cut situation. So, but that's kind of, you know, that was one of those, that's kind of what the day is like. It's a touchdown. No penalty. Why? Quarterback cut block.
I heard, I think it was ESPN, they said in practice, Nick should have known that if you practiced that play. Do you explain to the quarterback?
Yeah, we practice that play.
Okay, and he knows.
We explain that. The other reason you don't want your quarterback to cut block is usually he's susceptible to get hit in the head in those situations, and you're really just trying to shield people and not get him really involved in the play. So.
So it's really just his reaction.
Yeah, it was an athletic guy reacting, and just, you know, I don't fault Nick, but I think he just reacted out there, you know what I mean? And that's obviously, at that time, not the proper play, but I understand the situation. So
your name is now being mentioned in rumors for the Texas job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the same answer you did to the USC rumors?
No, I mean, I understand you have to ask the question, but I'm not involved in any jobs. I'm the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and going to prepare for the Bears. We're going to prepare for the Cowboys after that. Hopefully we had an opportunity to go to playoffs, and I plan to be here for a while. So.
Ertz took 14 more snaps than Brent. Was that because of the passing game, or is that?
I think some of the things we're doing, with that, and there's certain things where, you know, when you get into a throwing game, it gets Zach in the game a little bit more. So.
Jeff asked you about the incident with Deshaun on the sidelines with Coach Bignell. Is that a situation where you need to talk to the two of them, or is it kind of just forgotten?
Yeah, we handle all those things. You know, I talked to Bobby, I talked to Deshaun, and we'll get the thing straightened out. But it's not as big a deal as I think everybody wants to make it out to be. So,
Chip, why do you think, getting back to the Texas thing, why is your name coming up? I mean, you've been here less than a year.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't talk to anybody. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, it's just speculation. So haven't spoken to anybody, nor will I speak to anybody. So,
consider yourself. I mean, now that you've been in the pro world, do you consider yourself a pro coach now? You know, I think that's part of why you get involved in speculation is the idea that you're this great, successful college coach. Do you consider yourself in this realm for good?
I consider myself a pro coach 8 times this year, and 6 times I haven't.
Talk about the 4th-and-1 play. You talk about the flight home. What decision, what play is most keeping you up, so to speak?
They all keep you up. That's the one thing. It makes for a great story to write. It was this. It's every single call you make, and it's every single thing you do, and it's also whether you win or lose. And I've said that all along. And I say everything's a 1-week season, and you know everybody's happy and jumping around last week, and now all of a sudden the sky is falling. I mean that's the way it is. That's what this game's all about, and that's what this deal's all about. And it's got to be a 1-week season, you know, and for 5 straight weeks, we did a pretty good job, and Mondays were pretty good around here. Today, Mondays aren't pretty good, but they shouldn't be pretty good because we were disappointing, and we didn't do what we were supposed to do yesterday. And can't make excuses. We're going to watch the tape. We're going to make corrections, and we'll come back tomorrow and get ready for the Bears.
I understand what you said about running and why things were like they were yesterday, but can you have good rhythm in your offense if you don't run very much?
Hypothetically, yes.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you're not successful. If you're not moving the football, then it's hard when you're not successful. But I would argue that the Vikings were very successful in how they threw the ball against us yesterday and didn't run the ball all that often. But they threw the heck out of it against us. So.
What were the issues in the secondary? You mentioned them throwing the ball. Was it missed assignments, miscommunication?
Nah, you know, I think first off, I thought Castle played a really, really good game. You know, when you go back and watch the tape, you know, I thought he put the ball in some tight coverage sometime in perfect situations. The one down the sideline, you know, on Fletch kind of sticks out in my head. There were some times where he just dropped back. He was decisive. He ripped it and put the ball on the money. But there's also things we can do to be closer. You know, we need to play, I think, a little bit tighter in some of those situations. And you know, sometimes we did get to him. I thought, by and large, I thought Fletcher Cox did a really good job. But I think the biggest thing for us is the critical situations on third down. We have to get them off the field, and we didn't do that well enough on Sunday.
Tighter. Is that a scheme thing? The guys are told to play off a little bit?
No, not specifically. So it just depends on the individual call. So. But there were times just in man coverage where we just weren't close enough to our guy. You know, I think we had a big 3rd and 14 right at the end of the, you know, it's 27-22 game, and they convert on the pass to the tight end. You know, that's the stuff we're talking about. But we're in man coverage in that situation, so.
Have you had the chance to talk to Kerry Williams or talk to Billy about what happened?
No, I haven't talked to any of our players. They're not back till tomorrow, so I'll visit.
That's why I was.
No, I didn't.
And Billy Davis about
I talked
what
to
happened.
Billy. Yeah, I know exactly what went on. So, but I haven't had talked to Gary or didn't talk to any of our players.
So, was it a benching? Was he pulled?
Yeah, he just sat him down because he was a little distraught about the call, and we needed to have clear heads, and we were out there when we were playing.
Players like him and Deshaun kind of toe that emotional line. It seems is that something that they have to learn? Is to pull it back in when things are not going well?
I think we all have to learn that, you know, and I think that's part of what it is being a competitor, is that you have to learn how to play with emotion but not let emotion play with you, and that no matter what goes on, we still have to keep our poise out there, and that we got to be able to play the next snap, and if we do have a bad play, we need to move on to the next play. We need to learn from what we did on that play in terms of if it was a mistake on our part and how do we correct it. But, you know, we can't let the last play affect us on the next play. And I think that's a lesson for all of us to learn, just like we can't let the Vikings game affect the Bears game. And that's a easier said than done for all of us. I think we all have to be that way. You know, sometimes there's a critical call and guys are getting on the official, hey, he ain't going to change the call. Let's move on. Let's get on to the next play and let's see what we can control and what we can't affect. And that's kind of what we talk about all the time, but you still have to live it. So.
So there were several plays where the Vikings were able to kind of capitalize on off coverage, where you guys given a lot of cushion, receivers making plays underneath. In that case, did you need to, in the second half, adjust that, or did you guys
I think we did
adjust
it. I mean, I think we've had a pretty good mix. So Billy had a pretty good mix in terms of pressures and mans and zones and all the other things. So
the problem in the first half was when they did, there was some tackling in front.
Yeah, there's some tackling. There were some times where obviously the ball's thrown in front of us. Now we rally up and make a tackle, and then we're off the field. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. If you are playing zone coverage, and we talk about it, we're always going to play deep to short. But when the ball's thrown short and the ball's thrown in front of you, then we need to wrap up, we need to tackle, we need to get the guy down on the ground. And there was too much run after the catch in those situations.
Night games are part of the deal in this game, and you have to play them. But do you think going over the top is more difficult under the lights than during daytime games?
No, I don't.
Thanks.